Can a man become a woman? Stay tuned and find out on Unapologetic. No matter where you look, Bruce Jenner is all over the news. Now, it might not be with his name Bruce Jenner, it might be the name Caitlyn Jenner. So for those of you who aren't familiar with this, here's a brief rundown. Bruce Jenner competed in the Olympics and actually won a gold medal in 1976 in the decathlon, which is a track and field series of events. And recently, he's been on the cover of Vanity Fair as a woman. Because you see, Bruce Jenner no longer exists, at least as the narrative goes. Bruce Jenner has changed his gender, Bruce no longer exists, and now Caitlyn is the person formerly known as Bruce. But Caitlyn totally identifies as a woman. And so the question is, as Christians, how should we respond to this type of situation, which is becoming more and more common? Well, whenever we're talking about how we should respond to a situation, the Bible should be our authority. And so the question should become, what does the Bible say about transgender issues? Well, directly, not too much. But that doesn't mean the Bible doesn't have something to say or weigh in here. What it does mean is that we should look all the way back at the beginning in Genesis, where God says in Genesis 1:27 that he created us male and female in his own image. Male and female. We were created, as Christians we understand this, but we were created in the image of God that gives us a required dignity, an intrinsic worth, and we are all worthy of respect in that way as image bearers of God. But we are also created different. He didn't create androgynous person one and androgynous person two. He created a male and a female. These are distinct from one another. They are complementary, but they are not able to be substituted for one another. And this is key. As Christians, our anthropology, our concept of man and who he is very important. And it must include the fact that man, as a race, is made up of men and women who are distinct and yet complementary. So that's the first couple things. We must affirm that genders or sexes are different, and that also both sexes have value and intrinsic worth and dignity. The next thing we need to affirm about man as part of our biblical anthropology is that sin has corrupted everything. And by everything, I mean everything and everyone. No one is exempt or untouched by the blemish, the stain, and the corruption of sin. And so in a fallen world, in a Genesis 3 world, it's not going to be uncommon to see people who are not happy with themselves, who wish they were somewhere else, who wish they were someone else, who wish they were a different gender. And so when we have a robust concept of man based on the Bible, in some ways, these type of issues of men thinking they're women or wanting to be women, they shouldn't necessarily surprise us because the corruption that results from sin really has no limit almost, except for what God restrains. And so we see examples of this in homosexuality. This would be something that flows from a corrupted or a sinful nature. Transgendered issues or gender dysphoria, not being happy with your current gender, or even feeling like that accurately reflects who you are. That would be an example of something that would occur and does occur in a fallen world. There's also another area that's related here that isn't often talked about, but transabled people. Now, this is a new term, and so often these conversations are marked by new terms. Last week, quite a few people were asking, what's a thruple? That word doesn't exist in the dictionary. Well, that's a grouping of three people who want to be in a relationship all together. And the fact is that the vocabulary here is struggling to keep up with the social situations. So much of this is changing so quickly. Well, transabled is another new word. And here's a brief story about this man named Jason in Ottawa, Canada. And here I'm quoting from an article that I will post in the resources section. He cut off his right arm with a very sharp power tool. And this man, who now calls himself One-Arm Jason, let everyone believe it was an accident. But he had for months tried different means of cutting and crushing the limb that had never quite felt like his own. He trained himself on first aid so he wouldn't bleed to death, and even practiced on animal parts, which he got from a butcher. He said, "My goal was to get the job done with no hope of reconstruction or reattachment, and I wanted some method that I could actually bring myself to do." His goal was to become disabled. People like Jason have been classified as trans-abled people. They feel like imposters in their own bodies, with their arms and their legs in full working order. So this was a man who wanted to become disabled. He felt like his arm didn't actually fit who he was. It was not a part of him. So he wanted to remove it. Well, what did Bruce Jenner feel like? He felt like, I'm not a man. I'm a woman in a man's body. So I need to change that. But what often results from these desires to change? They end up mutilating themselves. And that's what Bruce has done. He started this process. He's gotten breast implants. He's a man with breast implants. This one-armed Jason, as he calls himself, hasn't improved his condition. What he's done is he's simply mutilated himself. He's cut off a limb of his body. He's denied the created state that his creator gave him. Now, I think this is a great example of what's talked about in Romans 1. So in Romans 1, verses 18 and following, I'm going to skip some throughout here, but I'm definitely going to keep Paul's train of thought. Here's what it says. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Because what can be known about God is plain to them, for God has made it plain to them." Now it goes on to talk about God and his eternal nature and his invisible attributes, which testify to his existence. But I think one of the things that is also obvious about God is that we were a created people. Now, maybe from nature, you don't fully understand that we were created in his image. But even little children who have never been exposed to religion believe people were created. Not that we just evolved randomly. So Paul's talking that people are denying God and the truth of God in ungodliness and unrighteousness. And he says that they begin to worship the created instead of the creator. They dishonor their bodies, in fact, and God gives them over to this. And one of the examples he gives is this: "For their women exchanged the natural sexual relations with unnatural ones. And likewise, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed in their passions for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in themselves the due penalty of their error. They did not see fit to acknowledge God, and God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what should not be done." I think this also is an example of many different types of sin and many different types of denying the truth and unrighteousness, of which transgendered issues is an example. So when a man feels like he's a woman, he is denying the physical reality of who he is. Right? Every cell in his body is not confused about what sex Bruce Jenner is. Every cell in his body knows that there's an X and a Y chromosome and that he is a man, not a woman. But what's happening today is people are wanting us to reclassify who they are based on how they feel. And that's extremely dangerous. Because should a doctor mutilate a man who feels like he's a woman by removing his genitalia? Well, that's what quite a few doctors are doing. And actually, the lead psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins has said, this is not a good idea. This is not good for people. We were one of the first to start doing it, and now we've stopped doing it. And we don't even do it for children anymore. We don't say if a child is born with uncertain physical anatomy, we're not sure if they're male or female or they're kind of born deformed. We're not creating them to be women anymore, because that's not helpful. They can't actually grow up and be happy in that lifestyle. They always tend to act like men because that is in their genes. It's not just that gender is something that's imprinted on us by how people treat us. Gender is an expression of our physical genetic makeup. People are wanting us to treat them based on how they feel. So I'm a man, but I feel like a woman, so I want you to treat me like a woman, so I'm going to get surgery, I'm going to mutilate myself to make that happen. Or maybe it's like Jason, where I don't feel like this arm is a part of my body, so you need to be supportive of me, and you know, when it comes to me removing that arm. But as Christians, what we should really say when we see this is, no, I'm not going to applaud that. You're not showing courage by trying to mutilate yourself. What you are doing is it's a plea for help, right? We should have compassion on these people. We should say, you really need the gospel. You need to understand that God created you the way you are, and you may not be satisfied with how you feel, but that's no reason to hurt yourself, to disfigure yourself, to deny the truth in unrighteousness. And so really, our response to this whole situation should be one of not celebration. It should not be one of ridicule. It should not be one of applause. We should not make fun of these people. But what we should do is realize that they're harming themselves, and we should not support that, first and foremost. Secondly, it's not courageous to do what everyone is celebrating, especially when that thing will ultimately harm you. And thirdly, what we should say is that these people need our prayers, they need our support, and more importantly, they need the gospel. Right? The answer to I'm a man who feels like I'm a woman in a man's body is not surgery. It should be salvation. It should be the process that comes through the Spirit redefining, transforming my mind and working on those desires, but it is certainly not surgery. So I hope these thoughts have been helpful. This is certainly a very complicated issue that is becoming ever more and more in the news. But it's something we as Christians need to be able to think clearly about. We need to be able to say that, no, a man is always a man. And the best thing for a man is to identify as a man. And the best thing for a woman is to identify as a woman. We need to also understand biblically what it means to be a person created in God's image. And lastly, we need to keep the gospel the main thing. We need to keep that the priority when speaking on these issues. It's not just that we want to have laws and it makes us feel weird that now a man would be using a woman's bathroom, though that's certainly a consideration. No, the concern needs to be these people are doing things that they want to do, but ultimately are going to be injurious and harmful to them. And we should not support people doing things that will end in their mutilation and ultimately end in something that is not their good. Well, I hope you'll join me next week on Unapologetic.